There are many different facets of the call of God to faith in Jesus Christ. We've examined a few of them over the last several weeks. Today, our search takes us way back into the Old Testament. Not to a special prophet or priest or king, but to a person pretty much like you or I who was called by God. Our NIV version will read chosen, but the literal Hebrew reads called by name. And through this man, Bezalel, we learn that God calls his people by name when it comes to the matter of spiritual gifts. Listen, please, to Exodus chapter 31, the first 11 verses.
And the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. Moreover, I have appointed Oholiab, the son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given skill to all the craftsmen to make everything I have commanded you, the tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony with the atonement cover on it, and all the other furnishings of the tent, the table and its articles, the pure gold lampstand and all its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, the basin with its stand, and all the woven garments, both the sacred garments for Aaron the priest and the garments for his sons when they serve as priests, and the anointing oil and fragrant incense for the holy place. They are to make them just as I commanded you."
Mickey and I have never gotten overly involved, I guess, in home decorating. But Mickey is fascinated by all aspects of graphic design. She's got all kinds of textbooks and so on. And occasionally I find myself watching a program in which interiors are renovated just through the use of color. And they use this color wheel with celery and seeds and prunes and stuff all over it. I don't know what all. And they paint walls and they choose fabrics and they do some woodworking. And people are guided to pick colors to make their rooms pop and sizzle and get all tied together and whatever. And there are lots of shows like that, where living spaces are somehow redesigned. I have no idea what they're doing, but I do know there's a logic behind it all. And the end result always looks good. It's not always a place where I'd want to live personally, but I admit that it does look coordinated and the people seem happy. That's the goal, is to make the consumer happy and enable them to express themselves. And I've come to appreciate that some people in this world have the ability to design environments that do that, that express people's unique personalities, or enable them to utilize their living space according to their lifestyles and so on. I've come to admire that a great deal. I don't have that ability, but I admire it. Well, when Israel was called out of national slavery to find freedom in a unique relationship or covenant with God, God instructed them to build him a house. The way to illustrate and foster a relationship with his people was to live with them. At first, of course, this would be a mobile home, a tent, because Israel would spend the first 40 years of freedom in the desert wilderness wandering as nomads. But God wanted his name to dwell in their midst, so he commissioned a house or a tent to symbolize his presence with them, a dwelling called the Tent of Meeting, or referred to simply by the Hebrew word for dwelling, tabernacle. Our Lord wanted his house well decorated. So our text records how he commissioned a whole group of artisans to the task. Oholiab and a team of masters of all kinds of crafts, from textiles to wood to metalworking to setting gems to making fragrances. And in charge of the entire project, he chose, or as the Hebrew literally says, called by name, one Bezalel of the tribe of Judah. Now, we assume Bezalel was already a master craftsman, but according to our text, the significance of him being called had to do with God filling him with the Spirit of God and skill and ability and knowledge and all kinds of crafts to make artistic designs and engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. So his natural talents were used here, but there was more going on than just that. He was divinely gifted. There must have been something different about Bezalel's spiritual empowerment than just his normal skills. These things were overlapping here. You see, God was no ordinary client. It wouldn't do for Bezalel just to use his own skills and imagination any way he pleased. God's house was a reflection of his own person. God had already commanded, you shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the waters below. In fact, we learn in the New Testament that the heart of idolatry is to think that the divine being is like an image made by man's design and skill. So if Bezalel were designing a house for himself or a fellow Israelite, that would be one thing. He could just use his imagination. But to design a house for God that way would have been idolatry. So God filled him with his spirit for this task. Through some special work of the Spirit of God, God enabled or empowered Bezalel to design and decorate the tabernacle so that it accurately reflected God's true personality. More than that, the tabernacle would also instruct Israel about God's redemption. It would visually portray what we now call the gospel of our salvation. Bezalel worked with God's Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit worked with Bezalel, or both, in a way that involved his spiritual calling. Our text describes a rather amazing partnership between a human being and the Spirit of God, a partnership in which God's gracious Spirit is manifested in a specific way through the actions, through the work of a person who is called by name to accomplish something for God. The Bible records a number of such spiritual partnerships in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, they become commonplace. In fact, in the Greek language of the New Testament, there is a word describing this special manifestation of God's grace. It is the word charismata. There is no such convenient word in English, so we have a tradition of translating charismata by the two words, spiritual gift. Now, let me just tell you, personally, I think it's very unfortunate that we have a tradition that uses the word gift to describe this manifestation of God's Spirit. We tend to associate the word gift with the idea of a present. Christmas gift, birthday gift, a present affectionately given to celebrate us. Well, there's an entirely different word in the Greek for that. Just try to remember that when we say spiritual gift, what we're traditionally referring to is what we see happening here with Bezalel. A spiritual gift is a partnership with God's Spirit created to accomplish God's purposes through our action. A spiritual gift is a partnership with God's Spirit. The Lord said, "See, I have chosen Bezalel and I have filled him with the Spirit of God." Of course, the idea of being filled is a metaphor. The Holy Spirit is not a fluid or a substance, but the idea of being filled with God suggests some kind of intimate partnership going on. Whatever is going to happen here is not going to involve Bezalel just by himself. And just as importantly, it's not going to involve just the Holy Spirit by himself either. God is pleased to create a partnership between them. And that's what a spiritual gift, a charismata, a manifestation of the Spirit is. Why? Why does God do this? Because it's why he made us in the first place. A spiritual gift is a partnership with God's Spirit created to accomplish his purposes through our action. And that's why we were made. We were created to manifest God's image in the created world. God wants us to represent him, to accomplish his will on earth as it is in heaven. The Lord God created the whole universe to manifest his invisible nature in a tangible way, and humanity is part of that creation. And our job is to manifest his personal qualities and his personal divine purposes. Therefore, it pleases God to accomplish those purposes with us through our actions. Even his purpose of redemption, he accomplished through humanity, though he had to personally become a human being to do it. Spiritual gifts are partnerships created between the Holy Spirit and believers to accomplish God's will through our action. Note that it is God who creates these partnerships. He selects how he wishes to work with each one of us. I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, tribe of Judah. The underlying Hebrew is very definite. Called by name, him. Paul makes the same point in the New Testament when he says the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts to each one just as he determines. In our responsive reading in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul went to great lengths to describe the church as a human body. And the point he was making is that the Holy Spirit manifests himself in, through, among human beings who are reconciled to God. The Holy Spirit builds the kingdom of God on earth through humans' hands and feet and eyes and ears and so on. And each member of the church is a member of that human partnership between the Holy Spirit and the church, as if he or she were a specific member of a human body. Some of us helpful hands, others wise voices, others perceptive eyes, and so on. The body is built up. The kingdom is built through our actions, but not through our actions alone, but our actions in partnership with the guidance and mighty working of God's Spirit. And this partnership is called charismata, a practical manifestation of God's grace in this world, or as we've chosen to call them, spiritual gifts. The popular understanding of spiritual gifts has been heavily dominated by the huge Christian movement of the 20th century called the Charismatic Movement. A revival, massive revival of sorts, focused largely on what we call sign gifts. Sign gifts are an extraordinary subclass of spiritual gifts. In the Bible, they had to do with the verification of revelation. Prophets would perform regular miracles, or they would foretell the future, or apostles would heal and raise the dead. The gift of tongues was widely exercised in the New Testament era to prove that the gospel was no longer only Jewish, because the gift of tongues was the gift of a universal language, clearly explained in the book of Acts. One person would speak, and people who spoke a variety of entirely different languages would all hear that one speaker saying the same thing. And as they translated it to one another, they demonstrated this is a miracle. And they got the point that the gospel is no longer just for the Jews. It's for us. It's for people of all nations. Now, the PCA is a branch of Christianity that believes that the sign gifts are no longer given or relevant for today. Not that God has finished doing extraordinary things, but that revelation is complete in Jesus, so we don't need miracles every time we preach or share the gospel. Also, the point I think has been adequately made that the gospel is no longer just for the Jews. I don't think anybody's asking that question anymore. Now, we don't have time to pursue this right now, and what the sign gifts were and how God's supernatural work today is different from those sign gifts. But I would encourage everybody to explore those things with interest and with goodwill. I've got some pamphlets that look into some of those issues in depth if you'd like. The point I want to make today is this. To focus on the extraordinary gifts, that focus has rather effectively diluted interest in the normal gifts. The kinds of partnerships in which the church is normally and typically built, and that the church needs in every generation to be built. Most of the spiritual gifts mentioned in Scripture are not the extraordinary miracles. They are supernatural partnerships in which the Holy Spirit empowers, directs, energizes, and causes to be fruitful our natural abilities to the end of accomplishing God's will, not ours. There are different kinds of charismata, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of impact or effects, but the same God works all of them in all men. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit's given for the common good. In addition to sign gifts, Paul talks about wisdom and knowledge that's talked about throughout the Bible. Paul talks about preaching and teaching, and he talks about encouragement and financial giving and management and leadership and administration and showing mercy and simply helping people. He calls them all charismata. He calls all of these things the stuff of redeemed life, charismata, the manifestation of God's grace. And it grieves me that Christians who are not in the charismatic movement are so confused about spiritual gifts because we don't see the sign gifts convincingly demonstrated today. So if spiritual gifts are only about sign gifts that we don't see, then what do spiritual gifts have to do with the real world in which we live? If you were to get up and ask the people on either side of you and in front of you and in back of you, what are your spiritual gifts? You may find two of you or three or maybe all five scratching your head, saying, oh, I'm not sure. Not sure. A little hesitant. But we should know. And we shouldn't be embarrassed about it. Bezalel needed to know that God called him by name. He was going to empower and direct his abilities to accomplish God's plan to decorate his house. And not only that, but all of Israel needed to know that so they could support Bezalel in his work. What can we learn from this text about the exercise of our calling in terms of spiritual gifts? A lot of things. Let me mention a couple of them. First, the Holy Spirit guides our spiritual gifts with God's word. Bezalel was guided by all of the details in the surrounding text in Exodus. You know, this whole section of Revelation lays out in careful detail what God's house, what the tabernacle was supposed to look like. There's lots about hooks and fabric and colors and furniture and the placement of furniture and all those details, God designed his own house. Because the design was crucial. This was to be an architectural representation of God's holiness and his salvation. God's house, and God's house only, was to be surrounded by a wall because human sin makes his presence dangerous. God's presence is toxic to sinners. It results in judgment. And the wall of God's house had exactly one entrance because there's only one way in safely, the way he supplies. And the way in is to go past an altar and a laver where a sacrificial life is given in your place to pay for your sins and your crimes, and then the filth of your sin is washed away. And the interior of God's house had pieces of furniture that represented the light of his revelation and prayers that connected us to a God we cannot yet see clearly and to his provision even in the wilderness. And God's throne was surrounded by angels. It contained his holy law, but it was covered by the blood of that sacrifice so his people could approach him without fear. God didn't ask Bezalel to design his whole house. Just as he doesn't ask any of us, how would you like to exercise your spiritual gifts? He tells us through his Holy Spirit what he wants us to do, and he empowers us to do it if we submit to him. God simply asked Bezalel to make this happen. And he put his own touches on it, I'm sure. Make the furniture, weave the fabric, weave in beautiful designs. God gave all the details. He even told Bezalel he was especially partial to pomegranates. And he told Bezalel to make these things using that design, as well as the skills and the passion that he had and the touches he made. The Holy Spirit directs all spiritual gifts as partnerships by God's word. That's how he gives us infallible direction. See, spiritual gifts aren't just about us expressing ourselves. They're about accomplishing his will and thereby manifesting himself in this world. And the only person who knows what that means is God, so he tells us what it means. That was very clear in Bezalel's case. Second, we notice from this text that spiritual gifts have many dimensions. In fact, even in the same person. Somehow we get this idea that we've got this one gift we have to somehow find. Many gifts. I filled him with the Spirit of God with skill and ability of all kinds of crafts. You know, Bezalel could do all kinds of stuff with his hands. Read that list of stuff he could do. But then it says something else. It says, I've also given him the Spirit of God to make artistic designs. That's an entirely different skill. Not just to carry out somebody else's specs, but actually to design things. The artistic details of the lampstand, the golden angels, how many pomegranates on the wall. Bezalel was both a craftsman and a designer, and he was a project manager. He worked with Aholiab and an entire crew of craftsmen to get the job done. It's one thing to be an artist. It's quite another thing to get a group of artists to work together and to produce something together that none of them could produce on their own. It's a whole different skill set involved here in bringing out the best in other people, helping them work together, keeping them focused on the goal, lifting up their spirits. And this points out several things. Spiritual gifts cover many dimensions of human activity, physical skills, mental skills, interpersonal skills, and in fact, Bezalel had them all. So they aren't just about personal skills. They're also about concrete projects to bring God's will to pass and what you need to do them. And there may be several things that you need to get done, that you need to have. God doesn't give spiritual gifts out like presents or toys for us to play with. They are partnerships that he calls into being to accomplish things, to accomplish his purposes. And if you're willing to be used, he will use you. And he'll take what you've got. And he'll make it effective if you will do it according to his word. I think Bezalel's example warns us to get away from the spiritual gift list mentality. You know, the idea there are spiritual gifts that are listed in a couple of verses of the Bible. And there are those who assume that those are the only possible partnerships that God ever makes with his people. Why assume that when every list is different? They're obviously illustrative examples, not exhaustive lists. That means that they are simply common examples of how God calls his people to work with his Spirit. In other words, don't try to abstractly pick your spiritual gift from some list. Look at how God empowers you to bring his will to pass. So spiritual gifts are guided by God's Spirit. They have many dimensions. even in one person. And third, this text emphasizes how our gifts are to be exercised in concert with one another. Bezalel worked the large group of craftsmen. He didn't work alone. Even filled with the Spirit of God, he wasn't expected to do it all by himself. In fact, God wanted to work as much through Aholiab and the others as he was delighted in working with Bezalel. He just chose Bezalel to lead them. And we shouldn't be surprised at this because of what Paul taught. He said, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members don't all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. My spiritual gifts, my partnership with God is not something that can be severed from yours. It's got to work together. Why? Because there are partnerships he creates to accomplish something, and that accomplishing something requires all of us working together. How has God called you to partner with his Spirit to accomplish his purposes through your action? There are so many these days who want to answer that question by focusing on a few extraordinary gifts. And frankly, I'm not that interested in them because I believe the historical need for them has passed. I'm interested in all of the dozens and hundreds of charismata that God gives to build his church and accomplish his plan of redemption in the world today and that are needed today. The church can't be built simply with the same human tools that we build other institutions unless God empowers them and we submit ourselves to him. And let it be guided by his word and respond to his call. We need to be filled with God's Spirit to use the skills he's already given us and work that together. Let's stop approaching spiritual gifts as a private exercise in self-fulfillment and start looking at the Holy Spirit and say, how can you use me here and now in my fellowship to bring about what he wants in his church? Oh, but I thought spiritual gifts were mystical, you know? Magical somehow. Well, what was so mystical about Bezalel sewing an angel on a curtain? Or designing one of those golden cherubim, you know, for the ark? Or choosing a flourish for the central column of the lampstand? What was so magical about Bezalel gathering the workmen together each day to review their work and praise them and correct them and sustain their vision? None of that felt mystical. So what made them spiritual gifts? They were spiritual gifts because the Holy Spirit filled Bezalel to use those skills to accomplish God's task. And those gifts were confirmed as the tabernacle took shape just as God designed it. What confirms our spiritual gifts? Some tingling down our back? Our gifts are confirmed as God's house, God's church, God's people take shape just as God designed us to be. They're confirmed as Jesus Christ becomes visible here. As you see his truth everywhere, a whole worldview that makes sense. As you see his character everywhere, his compassion and his righteousness acted out. As you see his work everywhere, as sinners are transformed by being reconciled to God. As you exercise your gifts with the people sitting around you, you're going to see the Holy Spirit accomplishing his will. You're going to see people encountering Jesus. Lives are going to be mended. Relationships are going to be healed. Justice and mercy and grace will spill out. Where are you in this picture? It's wherever the Holy Spirit enables you to effectively help. As Peter said, it may be in speaking or it may be in doing. It may be teaching a class or programming a website. It may be discipling three teenagers or helping single moms keep their cars going. It might be raising money for important projects or managing a database of small groups. It may be leading in a church office of some kind or writing training materials or hosting fellowship activities. Of course, the gifts which exalt Christ are not limited to their use in the church organization. We represent Christ as his church in all walks and areas of life. We can make Jesus visible in healthcare and journalism and law enforcement and education, in the courtroom, in the laboratory, in the lecture hall. The skills that God will use to accomplish his will are limitless. Let me tell you something. You will not find home decorating in any of the famous New Testament lists of spiritual gifts. But that didn't stop God from calling Bezalel by name and filling him with his spirit to do just that. The influence of the tabernacle was tremendous. It taught us what the gospel was. If there's anything that SBEP needs to improve, it's developing a fellowship here where all of our gifts can be effectively used, and that's one of the challenges that the session is addressing this year. It's going to involve a new vision that coordinates our efforts and a new structure that helps us to work together effectively. It's going to be a very exciting year, I can tell you. God calls us into partnership with His Holy Spirit in order to accomplish His will through our actions. Bezalel responded to that partnership with his whole heart and mind and soul and strength. I want to partner with God too. Let's work together to accomplish His will on earth as it is in heaven.